Let us pray. Lord, we desire the warmth of your love. Our hearts and minds long for the healing touch of your truth. Cause us to grow in love so that the dawn of your coming finds us rejoicing. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 10 years ago in 2011, CBC celebrated the 75th anniversary of the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, and Radio Canada. To acknowledge and commemorate this milestone, individual Canadians were invited to record and share one day in their lives. The goal of the documentary was to capture a look at life in this country through the eyes and the lenses of people all over this vast and great place. The videos included an ER doctor dealing with a 35-year-old patient who had suffered a stroke. New parents bringing home after 92 days their premature baby, born weighing less than 2 pounds. And there's a poignant story of a young military wife and mother speaking to their husband and son stationed in Afghanistan, who had to hang up because their 2-year-old was going to be sick to their stomach. And there were stories of people hiking in the Rockies, dancing until dawn, and couples getting married. On an ordinary day in Canada, extraordinary things will happen, some beautiful, some bleak, happy or sad, but above all else, real. And in the reading from the Gospel of Mark, he records 24 hours in the life of Jesus. Talk about being busy. He begins his day preaching in the synagogue, and they entered Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. And they were completely amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching as one who possesses authority and not as the scribes. In other words, people understood what he was saying. He made sense of the Torah and spoke to them in words and images they could understand. Throughout all the Gospels, we see Jesus using stories and objects and events from everyday life, planting crops, lighting lamps, gathering together and having a party, donkeys falling into wells, dispute over wages, and people responded. It is only the first chapter of Mark, but already Jesus is performing miracles and dealing with the crowds who are clamoring for more. Immediately, rumors concerning him spread through all, including Galilee. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And immediately, Jesus is told that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. So what does he do? He comes and he takes her by the hand and raises her up. In this culture, men did not touch women except family members. And yet here is Jesus touching. Later on in verse 41, Jesus touches a leper whom he cannot touch without becoming unclean himself. And then he compounds his touching offense by healing on the Sabbath. Jesus always touches people that need healing. Jesus touches those sore spots, those places deep inside that we may have buried for years, but can still affect us. I remember years ago sitting beside an elderly woman, my first parish on my own, and we were at a funeral for twins that had died. And she told me, she shared that 60 years ago, she too had lost twins and had never talked about it before. She shared that it was still painful, and she had been carrying it around for years. She needed the healing touch of Jesus. The irony of this is that 3 years later, she was a member of my second congregation, and we had an opportunity to talk about her pain. I buried her several months later, and I believe that she did have healing around that memory. After Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, we were told that she got up to serve them. The word serve comes from the Greek word diakon, from which we get the word deacon. The woman restored to health immediately, and she used her health to serve others. Now, the cynic in us could say, nothing has changed. Women are still serving, whether they're sick or not. But maybe we need to see this incident in a different light. In first century Palestine, she was probably embarrassed of her inability to serve as a proper hostess. So Jesus relieves her anxiety by healing her and letting her get on with her normal life. And Jesus honors this woman by making her the subject of one of the gospel's first miracle in his ministry of healing. And just when he looks like he may be able to relax and for the evening and kick back and take his shoes off, at sundown, they brought all that were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered at the door. The crowds wait until the Sabbath is over to bring people for healing. Jesus heals those who are ill, and he deals with the demonic. Healing takes place when the authority of Jesus is acknowledged, either by evil spirits who know who he is, or by the sick who come to him with faith that he has the power to heal them. If there is no faith, no acknowledgement of his authority, can there be a healing? The authority of Christ comes from his Father, and he does not seek honor from demons, and so he silences them. He is not interested in what they have to say, and he not only commands them to be quiet, but he discourages the healed and his own disciples from talking. A day in the life of Jesus ends, and yet Mark tells us that in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. I would think that Jesus would be tired after such a long day of preaching, healing, and exorcism, but well before sunset, before sunrise, he gets up to pray to his Father, because he knows that without prayer, without listening and communing with the one who sent him, none of this could happen. It's as if he is saying, Lord, I'm going to have another day like the one I just had. I'm going to need your help, your power, your strength, your input. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Prayer, the power of the church, in the church, and for the church. Nothing can be done without prayer. Our thinking of prayer, whether right or wrong, is based on our own mental conception of it. Maybe we need to think of prayer as the breath in our lungs and the blood from our hearts. Our blood flows and our breathing continues without ceasing. We are not conscious of it, but it never stops. Prayer is not an exercise. It is the life of the saints. Jesus was in such an intimate relationship with God because of the times he did go away, leaving all the distractions and resting in his Father's presence. And there he was renewed, refreshed, equipped, and empowered to continue God's purpose and plan. And when his disciples track him down, he announces his purpose. He says, look, let's go into the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do. The disciples kind of didn't understand. For them, there's plenty of time for prayer, but right now there are people, plenty of them, lots, who are eager to see Jesus. He could have stayed in Capernaum. After all, he was having all kinds of success, and people received him well. He had friends there and a place to stay. But Jesus was never one to stay in the comfort zone, staying put, not taking any chances. And Jesus will not let the disciples set the agenda he has in prayer received from the Father. He has come to preach, teach, heal, and redeem. And he was able to preach, heal, exorcise demons, teach, and give his life on the cross because of the time he spent with his Abba. This day in the life of Jesus reveals that he is a man of compassion, a man of service, of prayer, and he knew his purpose. As disciples of the living God, let us pray that we too are people of compassion to those who are sick. We too are willing to serve others as we have the ability. We too are developing the holy habit of prayer. And finally, we are a people whose purpose it is to tell others about the wonderful things that God has done and continues to do in this world and in the next. Let us pray. Holy One, fill us with your love that it might cascade into the ordinariness of our lives, and others experience the warmth of its flow, spreading from hearts and words and deeds, an unbroken stream, bringing refreshment to all that it touches. You call us to leave all things, you who had nothing. You call us to be servants, you who came to serve. You call us to share the load, you who carries our sin. You call us to speak your word, you who lived it daily. You call us to be followers, and in your strength we will be. We will be the life we live. We will be the love we give. Amen.